We'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we're recording from. We pay our respects to the Wurundjeri Woi Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders, past and present. We also acknowledge the traditional owners from all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands you're listening from.
I learned to swim in different ways. So it would be, you know, out with my family, water skiing at the weir. So, I'd learned to swim. I always had life jackets on, right? Yeah. Swimming in the river and swimming at the pool, like every weekend with my brother and sister.
This is Kerry Lee.
A beautiful waterway in the Northern Territory. And it was at Mataranka. It's a hot springs. Just magical. Yeah, just magical. And I remember going underwater with my big brother.
She's the Indigenous lead at SBS and she swam all over Australia.
Beaches, Surfers Paradise Beach, I've swum there. Dams growing up, yeah, they were swimming in dams in that murky water, I remember. The same water you'd get yabbies in as well as kids. Yeah, the river again and just swimming pools, you know, whether it be the public pool, which was always really fun because that's where you got together with your friends. It was like the place to be.
Hey, I'm Seren Jayamana.
And I'm Sashi Pereira.
This is Head Above Water, where you're invited to join me as I learn all about Australia's incredible water culture.
And how to stay safe in all kinds of water environments.
So far, we've been to the beach, the pool, on a boat, and even out on the rocks for some rock fishing. My last stop on this water adventure is inland waterways.
First, we'll talk to Kerry Lee Barry about some of the different freshwater environments you'll find across Australia. Then you'll meet James Brincat. He's a park ranger, which means a big part of his job is keeping people safe when they're visiting inland waterways.
Hello, I'm Kerry Lee and I'm the Indigenous lead at ALC, which is audio and language content at SBS Audio.
During this podcast, I've been learning all about Australian water culture and water safety. It started at the beach for me. Are you much of a beach person?
I love a little bit of the water, but I don't go out past my knees. But the beach, yeah, bring it on. Don't you? Palm trees, coconuts.
I was born in Sri Lanka and I feel like culturally for us, it was very much the knees rule as well. It's just you do not go past.
Is that right? No. So is that what your old people would say?
The elders would much just say it's the safest place to be and they would get very, very intensely stressed if you tried to go past
that.
Yeah. Australia's waterways can be very special and spiritual for Indigenous communities. What does the water here mean to you?
The water in Australia, to me, it's magical. It's a really special place, depending on which waterway you're at, on which traditional country, and what it means spiritually and what it means to the people who live on that land as traditional owners. It's their magical place, yeah? And it's their spiritual stories, yeah, are within the land and the waterways. We've got so many groups across Australia. I'd be here, you know, for a couple of days telling you about all the waterways with our groups. So you need to hear from the people from that land about what that waterway means to them.
Given that they are really special places that of significance that we're swimming in, what should we keep in mind in terms of respecting the land?
Well, you just said it there. It's the word respect. That's number one. Just have respect, yeah? That, you might just turn up and see a lake or a river in front of you and just go, yeah, it's just water. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people don't look at it like that, yeah? We look at it in a holistic sense. What is that water? Me and water, yeah, we go back a long way. And I have a great relationship with water. You know, we need it to survive, right? All of us on this planet.
Hi, my name's James Brincat. I'm the area chief ranger for Werribee Plains. And for those who don't know, it's in Victoria, and Werribee River runs right through the centre of where I manage. It's not as heavenly as you'd think being a park ranger. A lot of it is spent doing admin, but there is a very, very attractive side to our jobs, and that is we are outside for when we have to look at what we're managing. We're not inside a factory. We are very much governed by the weather. And for those of us that manage parks that have water bodies in them, part of our day-to-day management is about managing the water and what comes with it. So there is the water quality aspect. So at our end, we're at the just before it meets the sea. So just about everything we do around that river can impact on what ends up in the bay. So we're very conscious of that and the way we go about our work. But there's also a thing called safety. And when you've got lots of park visitors, and especially in a garden can give you a sense of safety just by being in it. So you may not be aware of the risks when you come into contact with a water body. And part of my job is to ensure that whatever we have, whether it's pathways leading to the river, whether it's signage, whether it's our design in how that pathway hits the river, these are very, very important aspects about my job.
I know that you meet with community groups to talk about water safety as part of your work. You have a favourite way of starting the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. What's the question you ask those groups when you first meet?
When I meet with other cultural groups, especially those who come from the Middle East, one of the first questions I do ask is if they can guess where I come from.
When you're meeting with a new group, a new community, why is it that you want them to guess your nationality?
I think it sits in all of us. Where there is somebody that is really foreign telling you what to do is different from where you've made some sort of connection. And I think, you know, especially when I'm presenting to Middle Eastern and Mediterranean, I think having that connection makes a difference in that it's not an automatic credibility, but you're close.
I may be cheating because I'm looking at the sheet, but I'm going to guess Malta.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
Right, cool. And so that you grew up in Malta, is that correct?
No, I grew up in Australia, and my parents were from the generation post-World War II arrivals. Very, very interesting background as far as they grew up in the city, but surrounded by water, learning to swim like most or all Maltese. By the time they are 4 or 5, they are swimming. And that certainly isn't the way you would describe me as a child, because I did not learn to swim until I was in my early teens. I nearly drowned as a kid. And when I was growing up, I was friends with another kid from a different part of the world. And he was witness to a drowning of a close friend of his and tried to save his friend. That really sort of sat with me about that, this fear of water. It actually made it worse. So I did not want to learn how to swim, which worried my parents. From coming from a background where being able to swim is not only part of life, but it's one of the most important parts of your life, because you never know when you're going to end up in the water because you are surrounded by it.
I actually have an experience where I was in Malta 1 year, and I'm not a swimmer myself, but we were at, I think it's Blue Lagoon or in Camino, one of the lagoons there, and my friends wanted to dive off the rocks, and it didn't look far to me, but as soon as we got into the water, I was like, I don't think I should be swimming. My friend had to carry me on his back to the other side.
Well, you know what? That's a wise decision, because if there's one thing about Malta that will jump out, there's very few sand beaches. So when you're in the drink, you are above your head immediately. There is no gradual entry into that water. And that makes a big difference. And that was probably one of the wisest decisions you made, because if you're not a good swimmer, you shouldn't be jumping off rocks anyway when you cannot see the bottom or where the bottom is. What you think is very deep may not be deep, And what you think is shallow certainly may not be shallow. And it's the one thing in your mind about the dangers of water and what sits underneath it. Even a large dam can be, again, what you think is safe, but that mud, you can sink like a shot and you can't get out. And it's also freezing cold. Often when we were growing up, they used to tell us never jump into a dam. I don't know about the truth of the heart attack business that it can cause, but having a property with dams, and I swim in them now as adults, they're very small dams, always take a floating device with me, but they are cold. They are super cold.
Seren, you and I both live in Melbourne where it can get really cold. Do you reckon that is something that stopped you from swimming in the past?
Totally. Like I understand people go to the beach when it's like 30 plus degrees because they want to cool off, but I can never understand those people who swim through the winter. Like people at St. Kilda Pier in South Melbourne Beach, it's like that seems crazy.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, for me, I feel really cold in the water here. Like genetically, I'm supposed to be at the equator in Sri Lanka, you know, and I feel like the water there is so much warmer. It's like bath water over there. And then when we moved here to Perth, I found the water really cold, but the weather in Perth was really warm, so it was fine. And then moving over to Melbourne, it is freezing. And yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe it'd be different, but you were born here and you still find it cold.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell just when you turn the tap on, it's like, I can't imagine diving into that.
No. I can barely put my hands in there.
Yeah.
But a real game changer for me, because my husband was born here, was when he bought me a wetsuit. I thought wetsuits were only for surfers, but that has really helped extend the amount of time I can spend in water here.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty cool.
It is cool, but I thought I was just being a whinger. Like, why is James talking about the temperature so much? Is it actually a big deal?
Well, it turns out, Sasha, yes, it can be.
There's a thing called hypothermia, okay? So if you fall from a boat into cold water, and our bay is cold enough in winter, and you sit out there and you can't get back into your boat, so if you're on your own in a boat and you haven't been taught how to get into a boat, and all that time you're spending in that water trying to tread water, trying to grab gear, all that stuff is taking a toll on your energy levels, your heat levels, and exhaustion happens super quick in comparison to just standing outside. So cold is deathly. It really is.
What are the most important things that people should be considering when they're going to these kinds of places?
My advice is never get into the water unless you can swim. You don't purposely go in, right, no matter what your mates are saying. And you can have a great time in water. And coming from a person that had a deep fear of it, you know, I love going out to swim, especially in natural areas. I'm not a fan of waves, no. I leave that for the surfies, okay? But I am a fan of lakes and I am a fan of gorges and billabongs and swimming in them. So they are really, really enjoyable places to be. But, you know, it's as I said, just about everything's got a risk. It's great going for a drive, but being on the road has a risk, okay? And you can drive really beautiful roads. And if you think about the most beautiful roads you've ever, they're always curvy, yeah, right? And they're always surrounded by, you know, amazing views or peeps into views, and the Great Ocean Road being the, you know, the biggest example, okay? That's not to say you should never go out on a road, okay? But you need to have your lines of defence, and knowing how to swim would be your biggest one, and not swimming alone, okay? So especially in inland bodies. But when you're with your mates, you keep your eye on your mates, right? You look at our parents, and I never know whether this is the truth or not, but our parents wouldn't let us go in the water an hour after eating. Okay, there's all these rules about eating. Well, can I tell you, you shouldn't go anywhere near the water if you've been drinking, right? And I absolutely, you know, I could not stress that. You need to have all your wits about you when you're in water. And when you've got that, you really enjoy yourself. Right, because the risk, most of that risk is now gone.
I don't have kids myself, but I am thinking about if I was to have a family and my son was not a confident swimmer or my daughter was not a confident swimmer, but they were going on a trip with friends, I understand that temptation might be there because their friends are all jumping in the water. They might feel like just to fit in, they want to get in. Do you have any advice for people in that situation?
Well, think about when you were growing up. I don't have kids either, so I wouldn't know the first thing about parenting, right? Think about when you were growing up, because I know a lot about being a teenager, because all the trouble I've ever gotten into was when I was a teenager. You would dress the weirdest you've ever dressed because your mates were dressed like that. You would probably speak the weirdest form of English you've ever done because that was what your mates did. And people that we aspire to be can often, as a teenager, give us a command and we don't realise it's a command. So, you know, I bet you couldn't jump in the water and swim over to that rock is enough sometimes for teenagers to go, I'm going to do it, or even people who are younger. So I would tell people, okay, if you don't think it's safe, if you're nervous about it, don't do it, right? Fair dinkum. And look, I learnt growing up, sometimes it's better to say, oh, I could not get in that water, mate. For all the love in the world, I could not get in that water. And for some reason, you get the respect out of it, right? But it's very tempting to do what other kids tell their kids to do. It's tempting for them.
If you could only remember three things, the key three takeaways that you would say are important for someone who's going to go swim in a lake or going to go to one of these freshwater bodies of water, what are the key three takeaways?
Based on my experience in growing up, learn how to swim first before you get into water, right? Full stop. Still water, you should have a flotation device with you, right? Even a yoga mat, right? You can sit on. Like, you'd be surprised what's sitting around, and never get into moving water unless you really know what you're doing.
That's James Brinkat, a park ranger with Parks Victoria.
And before that, you heard Kerry Lee Barry, the Indigenous lead for audio and language content at SBS Audio. Sarin, you've done it! You've learnt all of the essentials of water safety. We've visited the beach, the pool, we've been on a boat, gone rock fishing, and now we've learnt about how to keep safe in Australia's rivers, creeks, and rock pools. What are your takeaways?
You know what, Sashi? Across this series, we've spoken to so many people who are now like trailblazers in their community. But when they first got here, they didn't know how to swim. It's so inspiring. The other thing, Sashi, is across this series, I've really come to appreciate just how much you can enjoy being around water in Australia. It's not just a dip at the beach. It's all of the inland waterways. It's fishing. It's being out on a boat. It's really cool. And what I also love is you don't actually have to get into the water to enjoy it. Although, you know, obviously learning how to swim is a good idea because that makes it even more fun.
I am loving all these lessons, Sarin. Our journey on this podcast might be over together, but what's next for you in the world of water?
You know what, Sashi? Everyone we've spoken to has said this. If you want to get better at swimming, you just got to be in the water. If you want to get more comfortable at the beach, you just got to spend time at the beach. And to be honest with you, it seems like there's so much fun to be had, so much fun that I've been missing out on all this time. I can't wait to make that part of my regular routine. Sashi, I'm so excited to see you and all of the listeners in the water.
This is Head Above Water, a podcast series for SBS Australia Explained, helping new migrants understand, settle, and belong in Australia.
There's four more episodes of the series already out, so if you want to learn more about staying safe at the beach or the pool, or while you're boating or rock fishing, you can also discover our episodes about those activities right now in your podcast app or on the SBS website.
And if you know someone who would love to explore Australia's inland waterways, but they're a bit unsure, send them this episode.